It's another, I was going to say it's another Friday afternoon. It's possibly, you've got to be optimistic about these things, another Friday afternoon, but it's probably not, depending on what day you're listening to this on. I have a 1 in 7 chance of getting that right. None to the point. I hope you're good. I hope you're doing well. I hope you've been listening of recent. And if you have, you would remember not last week, but the week beforehand that I had a lady by the name of Sherry Carmen on the show. Well, she's back, as was intended. I'll get to what happened just after this jingle. But if you haven't heard that episode, go back not last week, but the week beforehand, listen to that, come back here, and then this one will play on for you from this moment on. You're back? Let's hit the intro jingle.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
Last week, week before, I had recorded an episode with Sherry Carmen. Part two, I should add, which is what you're listening to now. Unfortunately, somebody who looks like me is about my height. In fact, the exact same accent, physique, and same size shoe did do an episode with Sherry, but never actually pressed the record button. So I am correcting that faux pas, that boo-boo, that bad man made that resembles me almost identically. And so I'm delighted to say I have her back on the telephone line. Sherry, how are you? Good to hear your voice again.
Hello again, Donegan. And you pressed the right button this time.
And I'd like to thank you very much for listening to this week's show. It's been a pleasure to have you. With thanks to CED Stone. We'll talk to you next week. We'll try that one again. Sherry, how are you? Good to hear your voice again.
Yeah, nice to hear your voice again too, Donegan.
For you listening at home, Sherry's line is just a little bit coming and going. I hope it's okay. I hope you don't mind. I hope you'll stick with us because you'll never guess what. As alluded to, I have a very vague idea, possibly, of what is about to be said. Deja vu, let's call it that, and we'll put it down to experience. We'll skip on past all of the boo-boos, Sherry, and let's get to things that are far more important than this bit of an idiot. Hampton Court 2019. It is with the APL, which is the Association of Professional Landscapers. Have I got that correctly?
Yes, yep.
And it is not their first time to exhibit at the show, but it is their first time for their garden to be put into the show garden category. Explain this to me, what has happened in the past. We touched on what you have done with them in the past on the episode before last.
Right, so yes, it's the first time that the garden is in the show garden category. It's the first time that it will ever be judged. Previously, the APL gardens, and I'll say that a little bit loosely because it's only really been the last sort of few years that they've kind of made their inverted commas trade stand a little bit more interesting. They've kind of made it a little bit more like an inviting sort of space. And last year we had an opportunity to make this space, again, kind of just pushing the boundaries a little bit, just making it a little bit more like a show garden, I suppose, rather than a sort of just a trade stand, if you understand me. So last year we were in and around the show gardens at Hampton Court. We blended in perfectly because the garden did look like a show garden, but it wasn't being judged and it wasn't really a trade stand. It was known as a featured garden. And this year, we wanted to go one up. We wanted to make something bigger, better than ever done. And basically, we had the opportunity to make this a proper show garden, be entered into the show garden categories, and be judged just like every other show garden there. So that's kind of what's happened, really, is that the APL has gone from having maybe a little trade stand to a space that is more like a little garden, and then last year it was a feature garden, and now it's a show garden. Yeah, very exciting. It's kind of like the first time this has been done for them.
Sherry, just to clarify a matter, for those listening at home, in a nutshell, it is possible to build, inverted commas, a garden at, let's say, a Hampton or a Cardiff or a Chelsea. It does not necessarily mean that it is being judged in that category, and there are grave differences between the two. To give you at home an example of that, Perennial this year, who were the sponsors of the garden at Cardiff that Sherry was also a part of, you would have heard that again the week before last, also did a garden at Chelsea, but it was in the exhibit category in the floral marquee, where, to differentiate that across the way, IKEA did do a garden in the marquee. However, that was judged as a garden. It's all a little bit, how do I clarify that one, Sherry? Is the judging rules different?
I think it depends on, again, what category that garden is being entered into. So I'm not sure if, for example, the gardens that were built in the floral marquee at Chelsea, whether they would be the same as the gardens outside, or whether they would be judged the same as all the other floral displays in a marquee. I'm not quite sure about that one. But from what I know about, if you have a sort of trade stand, they get their own sort of judging, and they get their own sort of medals, as you like. I think they're actually stars. You get stars, I think, in Hampton Court anyway. So if you have a trade stand and you decide, actually, with that space, you're going to make it look like a garden, which you're obviously completely entitled to, then it will be judged like it's a trade stand, but it will probably look like a show garden, if that makes sense.
Okay, that clarifies a little bit better. Again, just for you listening at home who maybe aren't involved in the industry, or as Sherry has done in the past, of building feature gardens which aren't exactly show gardens but look like gardens, etc., etc. Let's move on past all of that, because in true show garden style, there are usually very large teams involved behind the scenes. This one seems to be no different at all, Sherry.
We're really lucky. Because it's the APL, we've got loads of APL members coming to help. We've got the main landscapers who are APL members as well, Kiba, who they built the garden last year, the feature garden for APL that I designed last year at Hampton Court. They built that. That was their first taste in sort of show garden building. And this time they're back. They're really excited and enthusiastic about it being judged. All the materials are coming from them, same as last year. Creepers, same as last year. They are back and they are supplying us with the plants. But really, you know, having someone like the APL behind all of this, it just means that they have the resources, the landscapers, all the best suppliers, other designers, and basically what they've done is said, hey, look, you know, we're doing this garden, it's the first time it's being judged, does anyone want to come and be a part of it? And I think we're up to about like 9 or 10 extra contractors that are going to help on the garden. So yeah, we've got a very big team, actually, and I'm really thankful, because you know, you're never ever short of help with these gardens. There's always something to do every single day, and believe me, there won't be a single person stood around doing nothing. We'll all be really busy. We're also getting other people in that are professionals in their field. So for example, the garden has a pond, and it also has a plunge pool. So we really do have sort of the best people from the industry coming to help us out, because they're quite excited about this garden and the opportunity we've had with it being judged. So yeah, we're really lucky.
You've gone one slight step ahead of me, because my next question was, can you tell the listeners at home? I know you can flick on to the RHS website and you will get an illustration or a gist of what the garden may appear to be, but nothing beats seeing it in reality, or as I like to say it, close your eyes and just explain it to me like I'm a two-year-old child. What will the visitor see when they walk past that at first glance?
It's a very simply laid out garden. I'll say it like that, because I've kind of played around, sort of squared within squares, if you like. So it's very simple. It's very modern. It's very contemporary. But there's a lot of interesting things going on within the garden. We've got planting at different levels. We've got some sunken planting. We've got a raised seating area. We've got steps that lead you up to the raised area, and that will sort of flow through the planting. We have a water feature towards the front, and it sort of hugs the garden round to the right-hand side, and it becomes a plunge pool. It's a little bit hard to explain how that's going to look, but just wait and see. I'm really pleased about that. That sort of bit. I think the idea of a plunge pool is something that you don't often see. And it was so hot last year, and I think a lot of people would sort of agree that having something like a plunge pool with the sort of hotter weather was a great idea, especially if you're short on space. And that's another thing about this garden is, you know, it's showing how much you can do with quite a small space. We've also got a little pond towards the back, and the little pond is really a wildlife pond. The other thing I really wanted to show everyone is how you can fuse a modern contemporary look with sort of wildlife friendly planting, sort of nature loving planting. You know, sort of showing that, you know, you can put the two together. It doesn't have to be one or the other. I think a lot of people, when they think about sort of wildlife garden, they probably think about it as being a little bit sort of messy and you know, it has to be rustic and it has to be a little bit twee. And you don't need to. You don't need to at all. You can have your contemporary modern look with the sort of sleek materials. And then you can sort of include everything else in it to be wildlife friendly, and you can do that in a little space as well. So I hope that it's going to be something a little bit different that people will see. I hope it'll give people ideas, and I really hope that it inspires people to kind of think out the box a little bit with their space, with whatever space they have in their garden.
Just explain to me, Sherry, if you can, what is a plunge pool for those who are unaware?
A plunge pool, it kind of is what it's called. It's a small pool. It's only 1.5 meters deep. You can have it in a very small area, and it is basically just that. It's that you plunge into it. It's something that you see a lot of in the hot countries, Australia, for example. A lot of townhouses and that, in city houses, if they have a little backyard, they'll often have a plunge pool, and it's just a nice way to cool down in the summer.
Is it like a paddling pool but bigger?
It's a paddling pool but deeper. So you can sort of immerse yourself in the water. I mean, you can have it any sort of depth you want, but you know, the idea is that you can kind of immerse yourself in the water, sit in it, splash about in it, do whatever, you know, chill out, have a glass of wine, or you know, sit there for as long as you want, get wrinkly, look like a raisin, whatever you like. But it's a really nice way of cooling down in the summer. It's a really nice way of having some water in your garden. And if you haven't got the space for a pool, I know lots of people probably thinking, like last year when it was really hot, thinking, oh my god, I wish I had a pool. And a lot of people buy those sort of big inflatable pools, you know, fill it up with water, dip in and out. Well, this is a sort of very stylish way of having one of them.
There is just a little thing in my head. I know it goes around and around and around, but I just want to play you this little clip from 2018, and it is from Giles Heap, who is the brains behind CD Natural Stone, or the man who I would know as the face of CD Stone. And the question was asked midweek why CD Stone have decided to put their weight behind a series of Sideshow episodes, this being one of them. Huge thanks to all involved behind the scenes. Hello, Emily and Howard, and anybody else who I forgot to mention. Paula. Yeah, there's a whole bale of yous in there. Pardon me?
You know,
there's two of us talking here, Carmen. Not both of us can talk at the same time.
Well, so you're interviewing me for a second, so... But I, you know, sorry, I just want to say, you mentioned all these people from CED, and I do know them, and I'm just, as we're talking about them sponsoring, and I'm just thinking, they're such a lovely lot, they really are, and I'm not surprised that they've kind of, you know, said to you, yeah, we'll sponsor it, and things like that, because they really are lovely. And I first met them at my garden in 2016, and they were an absolute lifesaver. They really were, because I don't know if you remember, I literally only had 6 days to from concept to build that garden, and obviously we needed some stone, and they absolutely helped us out massively. I mean, we came to them literally, you know, a week before we needed the stone delivered, and said, can you help us out? And they gave us some beautiful stone to work with. I can't speak highly enough about them. Every single person I've met from CED have been lovely. Howie, hello, from Cardiff, he's lovely.
This now sounds like a 1982 radio phone-in breakfast show with Terry Wogan, and I just want to say hello to my mom and my dad, and I hope you're all listening at home. And where's your mom and dad based? Well, they're actually in Cornwall. Well, hello, mom and dad. Anyhow, let's go on past this. We play this little clip. We'll come back to you just after this.
I think there was an episode that I titled an impromptu thank you, and in that it was essentially that when you're doing a podcast on a budget and things can be a little bit tight, I have to give you credit as a company between you and Howard, and I don't know what was the catalyst, and I'm unsure why, but you did support it.
There's lots of reasons. I think that the basic reason is I like what you do. I like the fact that it's an informal chat with some of the best people in the industry, and it's fun, you know, and we need to spend a little bit more time enjoying ourselves and listening to people who've got something decent to say, and quite frankly, you do it in a nice way. Now I've kissed your ass enough. What's the next question?
I like the Irish spin on things, but it's one thing to say I enjoy what you do, and that's always appreciated when I guess a listener says that. But when somebody says, no, we're going to go a step further, which is what you did, and I'm not accepting the posterior kissing, I guess I'm paying you a compliment, irrespective of whether it was me or another.
There are a lot of shows out there that are very formal, very planned, quite frankly, most of them are boring as hell. And I think that something about the Sod Show is it just encourages the true person to come out. And you, as an interviewer, you do that. And, you know, in our industry, we've got some great characters. We really have. But you don't get to see the real side of them most of the time. I'm lucky, I do. I get to meet them, I get to work with them, I get to, you know, occasionally drink with them. And they're fantastic people. But to try to understand that through a formal interview done by some big radio company or big broadcasting house or another, you just don't get that feel of personality. And landscaping and garden design should be about personality. That's my thoughts. You know, it's real. And to see someone like you who's doing it basically because you love it, then that to me is worthwhile helping out if you can. And we can. And look, at the end of the day, it wasn't massively expensive, but I just think it's a great thing.
that was recorded in 2018 in Battersea Park. And those series of episodes were sponsored or supported, whichever is the choice word that you prefer, by London College of Garden Design. Sherry, the question is often, I say often raised, invariably it is raised, whether it's with Joe Perkins, who was on last week, and we're talking about the Facebook garden. Why would Facebook sponsor a garden at Chelsea? Inverted commas, not so much what's in it for them, for the negative, but why would they bother? Why would perennial a garden charity sponsor a garden at Chelsea or Cardiff or Harrogate or any other show? Indeed, you say. In this case, why would the APL go and put their name at the top of a leaderboard, choose you to design a show garden for them? They don't really need, if you don't mind me saying, on one hand, to go and do this to get their name out there. There are other ways they have. We'll get to them in a minute. But the cluster groups or the meetings that they do, Phil Tremaine, as you can gather, he was on Ascot, he's at Chelsea. I tend to see him everywhere. I honestly think there are 20 or 30 Phil Tremaines, and I'm unsure which of them is actually the real one. It's like a film with Arnold Schwarzenegger in it. It is a little bit that. But why would the APL go and build a garden at Hampton to be judged, or not to be judged anyway?
I think it's that the APL really are, I think they're growing quite a bit. I think they really do want to sort of showcase what they're all about. Because I know that some people don't really understand what the APL do, what benefits them, what benefits, you know, anybody from being a member. And if that is the case to anybody listening, I do highly recommend going to the cluster groups, as you just mentioned. They are held all over the UK, so find one that's nearest to you. It's completely free. Anyone in the horticultural industry can go. And it's usually held in a pub. You know, I don't think more of an excuse than that, really. And you all sit down. You can talk about anything. Usually there's a bit of a theme going on. Something will be raised. But the ones I've been to, there's loads of tips. You know, they're there to help you. You have any questions about anything, how to run your business, how to deal with clients, marketing, etc., everything like that. It's very friendly. You know, it's there's this great sense of kind of camaraderie within the industry. You're sitting there with everyone else who's in the same boat as you. And so for anyone who just wants to go along to one of them, I really do highly recommend it. Yeah, so going back to sort of why the APL would want to do this, I think they are growing, and they really do want to get that message across to people in the industry. And loads of people from the industry obviously go to the shows. They go to Hampton Court. They go to Chelsea. They have a look around. And the hope is that they'll come across the garden and go, wow, this is great. Who's done this? And that's an opportunity to talk to people who maybe not know what the APL is about, show them, well, this is what we do. And like you say, you know, Phil Tremaine, he's wonderful. I get on really so well with him. We worked together last year, and I think really that's probably why I'm back. We worked really well, and we have a laugh doing it as well, which always helps. And he's your guy. Go and ask him any questions you like. He's more than happy to talk to you about the APL. He's more than happy to talk to you about the business you're running, any questions you have. And really, they're there to help, and they're there to sort of set an industry standard, which is what they're hoping to do with more members, with more people interested in what they're doing. That's really what they're trying to do. And I think it's great. You know, I think it's wonderful. And places like Hampton Court, I mean, it's a perfect way to get yourself out there. It's a perfect way to meet new people. It's a perfect way to network. And it's obviously, it's great. It's great advertising as well. I know they probably don't need to do it, but it's also about educating people. You know, there's anyone who might not know about the APL. Well, there they are. Hopefully with having bigger show gardens like this and this time it's going to be judged, hopefully it's getting their name out there even more.
There was a conversation I had earlier on today with a radio producer. I guess one of the things that I end up doing a bit is the radio interview rather than the radio interviewing. She was asking me about pressure in show gardening. When you prepare everything, when you have a fantastic team by your side, that pressure doesn't as such. What I did say to her, however, was there is a self-imposed pressure where I put it upon myself, because be it in France or Cardiff, or you want to do the best that you can. If you don't strive for the best, in my opinion, you really shouldn't be in the race at all. Case closed. Yeah. In your case, however, there is a point at which the Association of Professional Landscapers, one of the most widely recognised associations representing landscape contractors, the best of the best, and they have selected you to be the designer. That question in mind, is there a self-imposed pressure that you have placed upon your own shoulders?
Yeah, there is. I think everybody's under pressure. The fact that this is the first time it's being judged maybe puts a little bit more pressure on me. But, you know, it's not always about the medal. You know, it's not always about, it's not, to me anyway. You know, I like you say, I'm going to do the best that I can. I know that I've got the APF behind me. I know I've got Kiba behind me. I know I have creepers behind me. And I know that whatever we come out, we're going to love the garden. And pressure, I don't know if I ever really feel under pressure as such. So maybe it's more like stress, I guess, when you are in the heat of the moment and you're in the middle of build, and inevitably there's going to be some things that might go wrong, and that does put a strain. And you know what it's like yourself. You have to come up with a solution. You have an issue and you have to resolve it, and you have to do that very quickly, and you have to do that the best you can. And sometimes it may have an effect. It may have an effect on the garden, which is disappointing. But I just think, well, you know, it's you're doing the best you can. You're all there working as a team. And really, any pressure I feel, everyone else will be in the same boat as well. So, you know, it's you're not alone. You're not alone, and everyone else is around there to support you, which is nice. I think that's what's nice about being in these show gardens, is that, you know, you get to know your neighbours, you get to see how everyone else is doing. And, you know, you might walk over to your neighbour's garden or something and go, oh God, you know, this happened, that happened. And then they're actually there to support you. They completely understand that it's a really nice environment to be in. So pressure, yeah, I can understand how some people would probably feel really under pressure. I try not to, because I know that I'm going to enjoy it anyway. I love building show gardens. I like being involved in all of it. So, you know, I just think I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to enjoy it. And that's that, really. Have a laugh. And whatever comes out of it, I know that I'm going to love. I know the APL will love. And I hope other people will love.
Well, pressure's for tires, isn't that what they say, Carmen?
Yeah.
I was hoping that was the answer you were going to give me, but instead you gave me a longer one.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine, my dear. That's perfectly fine. For you listening at home, if you are around, what dates are Hampton Court Palace Flower Show, Sherry?
It opens on the 1st. 1st to the 7th, I believe, of July.
And the APL Garden will be there, the Association of Professional Landscapers. If you listening at home are stuck for anything, just send me a note at Sodshow on Twitter, facebook.com/thesodshow, sodshow.com for anything else you need. And we'll put you directly in touch with Sherry or and the APL. If you are there, do drop by, wish them all the best. Give them a virtual high five. And that in mind, my huge thanks to you for listening at home, and also our good friends at CD Natural Stone who have made this one possible. They made the last one possible, but that, funnily enough, was not actually recorded, although the interview did take place. And on that bombshell, he says. We leave that to one side. Sherry Carman, very best of luck and wishes with the garden to be at Hampton Court Palace Flower Show, and fingers crossed I shall see you there.
Thank you. Yes, that would be lovely.
It will indeed. I'll bring you for Guinness and...
Ugh.
Yeah, I know.
No Guinness for me.
We'll go to the Grange pub afterwards.
Oh, really? Oh, lovely. Okay, the Grange pub might be a bit of a long way from Hampton Court, but hey-ho. Get on the rocket ship.
Indeed, indeed. We'll leave it there. You have a great weekend. Great weekend, a great week, depending on when you're listening to this. And we shall talk to you next week. Take care. Safe home. Bye-bye.